sometimes it is very helpful to us to be introspective and to look at ourselves and to see what others see. Many times we don't always see ourselves in the way that others see us, and we may not even see the truth about ourselves. But the thing that we do need to realize, John 8:32 tells us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's very important to know the truth, especially the truth of God's Word. And when we know that and apply that, and we can truthfully apply it to ourselves, it will be very helpful to us. The power of knowing a living God and seeing Him has a lot to do with seeing ourselves. It's what brings us to a point to be converted. Many years ago, Jarrell and I had a vacuum cleaner salesman come to our house for a Rainbow vacuum, and that's the most expensive vacuum cleaner in the world, I think, or it seemed to be to me at the time. We had no intention of buying that vacuum cleaner because, they had offered, some free gift if you just let us come by. But after they gave us the demonstration, and showed us what our vacuum cleaner was not picking up, then Jarrell thought we were going to kill our kids if we didn't buy the new vacuum cleaner because of what this one was picking up. So you see what happened? We did not see a need, and then we did. And the same thing is true when it comes to the gospel of Christ. People do not apply anything to themselves until they see that there is a need, until they see themselves as being lost, until they see themselves needing a Savior. Then they don't look for a Savior. If you ask somebody if they're saved, some people may say, saved from what? Because they don't realize that they're lost. They don't realize that they need a Savior. And so when you know the truth and the truth will set you free, you have to see that it's not just about the truth of the gospel. It's about the truth about yourself. And you have to see the truth about yourself in order to seek the solution. Jesus said that those that were sick and didn't know that they were sick were going to look for a physician. And so there's a great power in knowing the truth, because that's what can bring about forgiveness. It's what can help us to be humble when we look at ourselves. And so we need to open our eyes and see ourselves so that we can improve. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4 tells us to set our minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear in glory. So this is telling us that you need to open your eyes and set your minds on things above. And when our relationship with God is really central in our lives, we're not afraid to open our eyes and see things as they really are. But sometimes people drift away. Their heart drifts away. And they need to be able to see in order to come back. They need a road map, or they need to be able to look into a mirror and see the way that they really are. And we're going to talk about four mirrors in our lesson tonight. It's very helpful to have mirrors if you use them. One of the summer camps that Florida College has in Georgia, some of their cabins do not have mirrors, and it's so rustic that they don't have them. I think maybe that's a great thing. It'd save a lot of time if you didn't have to care about what you looked like and didn't look into a mirror. And in fact, some of the girls tell each other before they go, make sure you bring a mirror because there's not any in the cabin. Well, why do you care about that? Well, when we look into the mirror, it tells us that something should change. I actually don't know if I looked in one before I came here tonight, but I think all my hair is in the right place. But when we look in the mirror, you realize, oh, well, there's something that I forgot to do. My collar's messed up. My hair's messed up. And, I need my wife to be able to tell me that, or I need to be able to look in the mirror and see. What I'm saying is it only works if you look into it, and if you look into it and see something and you change it. So when it comes to our spiritual life, when you open up your heart to look at who you are and where you are going, then you can make some good corrections and some improvement. So the first mirror that we want to look at this evening is the mirror of God's Word. That was probably one of the points you would expect in this lesson, is that we look into the mirror of God's Word. It is a very powerful mirror for the ones that wish to see, but sometimes people don't use the Word of God in the right way. I was thinking about a preacher that came here many years ago to preach a meeting, and I've forgotten his name, but this really older gentleman. And he, at one time in his life, had made a recording, you know, imitating a preacher who just flipped open the pages of his Bible and says, we're going to preach on whatever text I find here today. And he opens up to the book of Psalms, and there is a psalm that uses the word psaltery in it, P-S-A-L-T-R-E-Y, which is a stringed instrument. But the joke that he was making is the preacher knew nothing about the text. He didn't know anything about the word. He didn't know what it meant. And he goes on and he talks about the peasel tree. He pronounces it peasel tree. And he says the peasel tree was one of the finest trees that grew in the land of Israel. And so he uses that to talk about a lesson and what each one of the branches of the peasel tree meant. Totally wrong. Totally not what the Word of God is teaching. But I've also heard people make the joke that, such and such is going to be our text for the lesson today, but be careful to listen to it real closely because we're not coming back to it again. Because people handle the Word of God in that way and use it for their own agenda or use it to make their own, human point instead of using it to make God's point. And really, that is the goal in all of our teaching, is to make God's point, not to make Randy's point or anybody else's. My role, my job, is to preach what God would have me to preach and explain it in the way that God would have us to understand it. And if we're not doing that, it's at any point, we correct each other on that, and we because that's what we want to do. We don't use God's Word or shouldn't use God's Word for human agendas. And Jesus pointed out that people that do that will never understand. They'll never understand God's will if they're handling the Word of God in this way. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 14, Jesus said, "Indeed, in their cases, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but will never perceive.'" So there were those that would hear words, but it wasn't doing them any good. And Jesus is specifically talking about those in His day that were supposed to know the Word of God, and they did, but they were not seeing themselves. They were not seeing how it applied to them. And He goes on, He says, "This people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So Jesus is warning about others who are not handling the Word of God correctly, and they're not listening, they're not hearing, they're not seeing. But He said, "But blessed are your eyes, and blessed are your ears, because you are hearing it." So we want that to be said about us. We want our eyes and ears to be blessed because we're making an effort to understand what it is God would have us to know. The apostles could see and others couldn't. And why is that? Why is it that some could see and others could not? Well, in John chapter 5 and verse 44, John says, "How can you believe when you only receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me, but if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" And so Jesus, speaking to those who believed Moses, but they were not seeing the connection that Moses made to Christ. Why is it that some saw and some didn't? Well, Jesus points it out. He says, because you want to receive glory from one another. You want to receive glory from your friends and not from God. And so that's one reason why people will look into the mirror of God's Word and they don't see themselves. We also understand that many times people will complain about preaching and teaching and not appreciate proper teaching. Many years ago, I can remember a person coming into this congregation that was visiting and looked on the bulletin board and saw a list of sermon topics for another meeting that was going on in the area. And he said, Randy, can you believe the tired old sermon topics that they're using? That aren't you tired of hearing those types of lessons? And I said, well, you know, I don't remember exactly what my response was, but it would have been something to the fact, you know, that there's still a need for this type of teaching. Because if people don't know this type of teaching, it's going to lead them into a lot of areas that are going to become problems. And so we have to be wise when we hear those kind of complaints about preaching and teaching. Yes, sometimes maybe the person that's preaching and teaching needs to teach on some other things. Maybe they're not teaching effectively on some things, and there is room for improvement. What I'm talking about, though, is that there are those that will never appreciate proper teaching from God's Word because they have been corrupted by society, or they have been used to entertainment and lots of personal illustrations and stories, and that have very little to do with the Word of God. You know, I'm certainly not adverse to using illustrations, which I do quite a bit, but it's to illustrate a point. It's not to be my primary focus, is to come and entertain you with a story. But sometimes there's very little meat in some teaching, and people are very happy with that. But you get, quote, too doctrinal, or you get into areas that step on too many toes, then people don't appreciate that as much. But that is not the way that we should be. 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 describes people this way, that they're those that are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The bottom line is that we need to embody what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, that we always hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're going to hunger and thirst for the Word of God. So the mirror of God's Word is something that's very important, and it's only going to help us if we're looking into it, if we're studying it, if we understand what it says. And not looking into it does about as much good as a mirror in a bathroom that nobody ever looks in. Or it's so obfuscated by things that are in the way that you can't even see the mirror. Or it's so dirty that you can't even get a clear image. James chapter 1 is certainly a famous passage that talks about the mirror. James chapter 1 verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looked intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looked at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Don't be like the man who looked in the mirror and said, oh, well, I'm gorgeous, and I don't need to change anything. And he's really mistaken about that. So the mirror can tell the serious reader something about themselves that they ought to change. And the point is that you really have to want to change. You have to understand that Jesus is your example, as we talked about this morning. He is the one that we should be reflecting. He's the one that we should want to be like. So, what does the mirror say about you? Are you teachable? Are you changeable? Can you make improvement? Well, the mirror of God's Word is what needs to be applied. Another mirror that sometimes people have problems with is the mirror of their memory. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, when somebody in our society today has some kind of honor bestowed upon them, or maybe they've gotten a big promotion, or they're elected to a high office, and people that know them say, "Well, don't forget us little people. Don't forget about us. Don't forget where you came from." What does that mean? That sometimes people get very puffed up in their estimation of themselves, and they don't remember where they came from. They don't remember their humble beginnings. And Paul is reminding the Ephesian brethren, you need to remember where it is that you came from. You need to remember that you have something now that you did not have before. You used to be estranged from Christ, and now you're not. And so that should be certainly a reason for you to look at the past with great gratitude for God's grace. We ought to be able to look back in our memory and see the hopelessness of living without God. When Israel looked back at Egypt, you know, they didn't always look back at it with clear eyes, but if they were honest about where it was that they came from, they'd never want to go back to the life of slavery and life of separation. And the Israelites, you know, remembered the Passover. Why did they do that? God wanted them to remember their deliverance. And we should also remember our deliverance that we have, you know, through the cross of Christ. Really, how we think about the past determines how we feel about ourselves in the present. And it determines how we're going to behave in the future, too. Because realizing the power of conversion and the power of forgiveness that Jesus Christ gave to us, it is a true foundation for us in our life. And it helps us to have the hope to continue as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, I thank Him who gave me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to this service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief or the foremost. Paul repeated this many times to others. Paul understood where it was that he came from. You don't get the idea that Paul was puffed up. And if we did not have this recorded, we might think, well, you know, Paul seems very, very confident in himself. No, he was very confident in the message that he had. He was very confident in the mission for which he was called. But he's not puffed up in and of himself. He understood the power of looking into that mirror of his memory and where it was that he came from. But you also see a great deal of confidence that he has. And sometimes that is missing in Christians. They don't have the same kind of confidence in their life that Paul did. And there may be many reasons for that. It may be that they don't really understand the power of conversion and the gift that they have been given like Paul did. Or it may be that they haven't really been truly converted, and there are things that are misaligned in their life that need to be taken care of. But that's a battle that needs to be won. If you look in the Old Testament, if you look at the character of Shimei of the house of King Saul, this man, he showed that he had a heart that needed to change. In 2 Samuel, verses 7 through 8, and also in verse 13, it says, Shimei says, he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. What's happening here? This is a man, 20 years after Saul's death, that still has this on his mind. He's got a grudge against David, and he shows his heart to everyone. Excuse me. Verse 13, it says that David and his men went on the road while Shimei went along on the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and threw dust. Here's a man that is so tied up in the past. He's showing his heart to everyone. How sad it is for this man to let these past events mold him in this way. A bitter past brings about a very depressed and angry life, as we see in the life of this man. So how does that apply to us? Our past ought to be something that we can look back at, as Paul did. Paul said, I used to be an insolent man, I used to be a blasphemer, but God has given me mercy. Paul didn't let his past get in his way. He continued to serve God. And he explained from time to time to people that questioned, you know, are you the one who used to be running from? Well, you know, Paul was affected by his past. But when we can look back in our past and be thankful for what God has delivered us from, it certainly is helpful to us. We also can look at the mirror of our relationships. What does that mean? Well, our relationships say a lot about us. You can definitely see where you are spiritually, or which direction you're headed spiritually at least, by your relationships, those that you choose to be around. Peter, certainly around the cross of Christ, made a series of bad decisions that led him into a place where he would fall. In Luke chapter 22, verse 54, it says that they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. So there is the start of Peter's problem. And we know how that ends, that Peter was accused by others. Well, you know, you're with him, you talk like him, and he began to curse and swear, and then Jesus turned and looked at him, and Peter realized, you know, Jesus predicted this. Well, why did this happen? He just started following at a distance. He was relating to the wrong people. He was influenced by the wrong people, hanging around the wrong people. And just a real microcosm of Peter's life there, which he soon corrected. But you see, when he got away from where he needed to be, what kind of problem that was. On the other hand, Paul in Acts chapter 18, he was encouraged to know that he had brethren that would stand with him. Acts chapter 18, verse 9, the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So what's going to help us in this life? Well, our relationships can either help us or they can hurt us. What do your relationships say about you? The relationships that we have here among one another here at Elliottsville. When we get to know each other, We can depend on each other. I hope, or we may decide we might not depend on each other. But if we know each other and we have the right relationship, we can depend on each other and stand with each other. But sometimes people's relationships change. Over the years, you see some, even those that at one time preached very strongly and boldly the gospel of Christ, their relationships change, and then their teaching changes, and they're going off into another direction, moving away from those that are zealous and faithful. So you can move toward those in the world. You can move in that direction, or you can move and have relationships with more worldly Christians, and those kind of things are going to help wreck your spiritual life. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Some people are what you call toxic. They are ones that are poisonous. They're ones that, Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits, or bad company corrupts good morals." Oh, my mom said this over and over to me, talking to me about who my friends were. "Why are you so concerned about who it is I'm riding school with?" And then, "Well, get me a car and I won't have to worry about it." Who are you hanging around? Who are you going to be with? What time are you going to be home? Yeah, she knew. And she knew enough about some people that she would rather me not be around them because they were toxic. They were what Paul would say would be bad company. That can cause problems. It can cause us to drift. Sometimes people will reject those that don't fall in line with what it is that they want to do. Sometimes it is described, like Paul describes in Galatians chapter 4, when those that try to direct you in the right path become your enemy because they tell you the truth. Have you ever become upset at someone because they tried to guide you in the right way? Have you ever been unfriended, or have you unfriended somebody on Facebook because they tried to give you wise and godly advice? Galatians 5:16, "Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them." Relationships say a lot. Who you choose to have relationships with, who you choose to be your friends, who you choose not to be your friends, says a lot about where you are spiritually. Sometimes people think those that are spiritually minded are crazy, or they're religious fanatics. But it's a blessing to have those crazy friends that are going to guide you in the right way. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." This is very telling, and it's very complimentary to those that want to serve the Lord. Ones that feared the Lord were together, and they were in agreement. And it says that the Lord heard them, and he was going to spare them. That's the group that I would want to be part of. So your friends, or your lack of friends, is a mirror as to who you are. It's very, very true that you can tell much about somebody's spiritual life by seeing who it is that are their friends, who it is that they want to be around? Who is it that you're the most comfortable around? I hope that your most comfortable days of the week are Sunday and Wednesday when you're around the people here. And I don't know what your relationships are the rest of the week. Maybe you have really good relationships, you know, throughout the week. But I'm just being real general here that most of us, you know, our best relationships are going to be right here in this room. And then there's going to be other things that we have to deal with on a daily basis out in the world or out in school that are more trying because we're dealing with people that are not on the same page with us. Or I hope they're not on the same page with us. We're not on the same page with them because they're not even in the same book. They're not looking into the mirror of God's Word. So where is it that you're the most comfortable? If you're not the most comfortable right now, that you will be at all this week, it's time to look in that mirror and see where you are. The last point that we want to make tonight is the mirror of your tongue. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. They defile a person." And there is certainly a lot that's being said right now in our country about words and the things that people say. And people sometimes will say words and then they'll take them back. Well, why did they say them in the first place? That's the question that comes up. And you know, this scripture will sometimes be quoted. Well, you know, if a person doesn't really feel that way, then they wouldn't have said those things in the first place. But now they've been advised by somebody that maybe that wasn't the best thing for them to say. And I understand that sometimes we will say things that we shouldn't say because we're angry or because we weren't thinking or maybe even we were mistaken about something. And we try to correct those things. But you know how difficult that is? It's like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do it. And then words are the same way. After you say something, you try to take it back. You're about as successful at repairing the situation as you would be squirting all the toothpaste out of the tube and say, "Okay, put it all back in." And if you ever want to make that point in a class, you know, just do that with kids. It'll make a good point about our tongue. So Jesus told us that our tongue will show what's in our heart. So what is it that you love to talk about? Relationships are usually determined by what we are the most interested in. And we gravitate toward those that share the same interests. And that's just natural. I hope that we all have common interests here. And I don't mean about football or anything else, about marching band. We've got lots of different interests here, but our interest is in serving God. This past week, I was in Mississippi for a couple of days, and I went on the website findthechurch.com, if you've ever used that, to find church. I was in Jackson, Mississippi. I didn't know, you know, what was there, but it was very clear from the website that there was one place that I had a choice of going to. And when I went there, Stefan Richardson was there that preached for us just recently. And I saw some other people there that I knew. And that I didn't really know anybody else there except, you know, maybe two, three people from the past. But I had a common interest with everybody. I knew what they were teaching. I knew the songs that they were singing. It was just like being here, except their singing wasn't good. But we all had a common interest because we're all working toward the same goal. Those that have a common interest have things to talk about. and they want to share those things. So how we use our tongue, how we talk, who we choose to talk to, what we choose to talk about is really a mirror into our soul. We need to have tongues that are full of praise and thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." That's a natural outgrowth, a natural response that a Christian would have to their standing with Christ Jesus and their hope of eternity. Our tongues will either show that we are faithful servants, or it can betray that maybe we're not where we need to be. So what does my tongue say? How is my tongue a reflection of who I am and who it is that I serve? The main point that you should gather from this lesson is just look in the mirror. Again, James says that you need to look in the mirror to see who you are. And if there's something that needs to change, don't walk away without changing it. Don't walk away and forget what manner of person you are. But make those changes that are necessary. Let's always be looking into the mirror of God's Word and be honest about what it is that we see so that we can effect proper change to be more like Jesus Christ. Hope these things will be an encouragement to you to continue to look and to continue to grow and to continue being an encouragement to others that are looking to you as an example. If we can help you anyway in being obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.